Remember those early days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of the God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And he, if he strikes away, he will not be pleased with you.
As it has always been. That's one of the good things about reading church history. To see that what we experience is not new. In fact, in previous periods, it's been a lot worse. And in other countries, it's a lot worse. We've been hearing about Nigeria. But it's hard and challenging all the same. But God is with us. God is faithful. Whatever challenge we have to face as believers. And in our next series on Hebrews 11, we're going to be learning about persevering faith. It's one thing to start a race. It's another thing to finish it, to break through the tape. And Jesus Christ enables us to persevere. He persevered. He broke through the tape. And he's there. He's interceding for us. And through his Spirit, he enables us to have the same persevering faith in our lives. And next week, we're going to be looking at, starting to look at individuals who were characterized by persevering faith. This morning, we're going to look at the background, the big picture of this letter to Hebrews. And we're going to have a vision, really, of the Lord Jesus in all his supremacy this morning. Well, Hebrews was written originally by the name, you understand, it was written to Hebrew converts to Christianity, and they were wavering in their faith in Jesus Christ. They were tempted to go back to Judaism, and the writer highlights four reasons why they were tempted to return to Judaism. The reasons are, one, they had lost sight of the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. And we can do the same in our lives. He can just, from his high position, he can just down, come low, just a little bit greater than us. They had lost sight of the uniqueness of Jesus. They had drifted away from Christ. They had stopped growing in their faith. And because of the persecution they were facing for their allegiance to Christ, they began to think, is it really worthwhile following Jesus? And maybe you have entertained such thoughts in your mind. Is it really worth it? As you read things in the news, you think, is it really worth being a Christian? Hebrews was written to reveal, to affirm the uniqueness, the supremacy of Christ, to warn of the danger of turning away from Christ. There are lots of warning passages in Hebrews. To affirm that Christ, he's worthy of our faith, our confidence, our perseverance. And in the first 10 chapters of his letter, the inspired writer gives three reasons for Christ's supremacy. here we are, picture of supremacy. Jesus Christ is supreme over all the key persons in the history of Judaism, be they special messengers that God had sent throughout their history, be they prophets, be they angels, be they great leaders like Moses, like Joshua, be they great representatives before God like Aaron, the high priest. Christ is supreme because they were all created beings. Whereas Jesus Christ, God's Son in human flesh, he's the one through whom God made the universe, the one who sustains everything by his powerful word. He is supreme over all creation. And those key individuals in Israel's history, they were flawed human beings. They fulfilled their God-given positions on behalf of God and his people, at best, imperfectly. Whereas Jesus Christ, God's Son, he's the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of his being. He is able to reveal God and his will. He's able to represent God and man. He's able to lead God's people in the most perfect way. And in fact, the role of angels and prophets and priests and great leaders was to point to him, to speak of Christ, and to prepare the way for him. Christ is supreme over all these leaders, heroes in the Jewish faith. Secondly, Christ is supreme because he accomplished something that no one else is able to do. Provide forgiveness, perfect forgiveness for mankind's sins. In the old covenant, through the blood of animals, sins were never fully forgiven. Sacrifices required repeating day by day and year by year. Sacrifices made the worshippers only outward clean, not inwardly. They still experience guilt. However, the perfect sacrifice of Christ, which never needs to be repeated, has guaranteed forgiveness for all our sins, past, present, future, through repentance of sins and faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is supreme because God, through Jesus Christ, has provided a new agreement, a covenant between God and his people, which can never be broken because of his people's failures, unfaithfulness, disobedience. A covenant, an agreement which makes available to all God's people a greater knowledge and experience of God, a greater experience of forgiveness, greater ability and power to obey God, serve God, reveal him to others. And that new agreement is made available only through faith in Jesus Christ. In light of Christ's supremacy in all the ways mentioned, the writer in the last three chapters of his letter reveals what their response, what our response should be. First of all, it should be confidence and boldness before God. Does that characterize how you feel before God? The old covenant agreement Israel had with God was marked by limited confidence before God. Only the priests were permitted to enter the holy place in the temple, and only the high priest could enter the most holy place where God's presence dwelled once a year on the Day of Atonement. They had limited access, and it meant limited confidence before God. And there were many ways that the priests could disqualify themselves from access before God on behalf of the people. Simply through failing to wash their hands, touching a dead body, failing to dress appropriately, failing to offer a sacrifice for their own sin, offering a sacrifice which was imperfect, disqualified them. However, because of Jesus Christ's perfection and the perfect sacrifice and his entrance into heaven on our behalf, a new and living way has been opened up, permanently opened up, whereby every believer can draw near to the very presence of God in heaven with confidence, even with boldness. Do we believe that? That's what God's word says to us. Boldness through the blood of Christ to enter into God's presence. And if we lack that confidence, if we lack that boldness, well, we've lost sight, have we? We've lost sight of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us, what he has guaranteed for us. May God increasingly open our eyes to the extent of our access to God through Christ. A second response to the supremacy of Christ and all that is accomplished is there should be a sincerity. There should be a truthfulness of heart towards God. The realization that Jesus Christ, God's Son, has given his body and blood for sinners like us should touch our hearts in a profound way and result in a great sincerity of heart towards God. And the effects of Christ's sacrifice make greater truthfulness before God possible. God has changed our hearts. We have a greater experience of forgiveness. We have a greater knowledge of God. We have a greater power to be holy. And these changes should result in a greater truthfulness and sincerity before God. More than that, it should result in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. Knowing who our representative, our high priest before God is, and what he has accomplished for us, what he has guaranteed for us, should result in full assurance of faith. Not in ourselves, but in him. We come in him. We can come in assurance of faith through Christ's name, trusting in his merits, trusting in all his accomplishments on our behalf. Do we possess that assurance of faith? If we lack it, we need our eyes opened to who our representative before God is. We're not standing there in our own right. We're standing in him. He's our representative. He bears his names on us, on his shoulders. What he has accomplished for us, what is guaranteed for us, should result in full assurance of faith. More than that, we should hold unswervingly to the faith that we and to the hope that we profess. Well, if our hope as believers is based on ourselves, our performance as believers, our holiness, well, we have a very uncertain hope, do we? It's a hope that changes from day to day. It's a hope which has no guarantee for the future. But because our hope is built founded on Jesus Christ and what he has promised and what he has accomplished and what he has guaranteed for us, well, we have a certain hope, do we? We have a guaranteed hope, which we should hold unswerving to. It's an anchor to our souls. We can hold to it without the slightest doubt or deviation. All other ground is sinking sand. We can stand on Jesus Christ completely. He'll never let us down. What he's done has accomplished this glorious salvation forever for his people. It should also result in our being spurred on to love and good deeds. Love and good deeds was what God required of his people in the law that he gave them. The summary of the law was love towards God and love towards our neighbor. Israel of old was given that commandment, but they lacked the desire and the power to keep that law. And in and of ourselves, we lack that power to keep the law. But through the great heart change that God has brought about through the new covenant, placing that law in our minds, writing it on our hearts by the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer, we have the desire and the power to keep the law in a greater way. Never perfectly in ourselves. But Christ kept it perfectly for us. And we're accepted in him. But one day, we'll keep it perfectly. That should spur us on to love and good deeds. And God's incredible love. And God's good deeds to us, undeserving sinners, should spur us on to love and good deeds. It should also result in a greater desire to worship and serve and fellowship together as believers. That's what the writer, this is his argument, this is what he's saying to these believers who are drifting away in their faith and saying, look, this is the Christ has accomplished all these things, and this should be our response. It's a letter he's given to them to spur them on, and it's written to us to spur us on to love and good deeds, to a greater desire to worship and serve and fellowship together as believers. And that was the experience of the community of believers at Pentecost, who were experiencing the new covenant blessings. They devoted themselves to do these things, to worship, to serve, to fellowship together as believers. And that should be our response as well. And that will be our experience when our eyes are fully opened to the new covenant blessings that we have through Christ. And the last thing he spurs them on to is to great encouragement. What Christ has accomplished, what he's done for us, should result in great encouragement. Are you encouraged in Christ? In the world, there's lots of disappointment. In ourselves, in the church family, I'm afraid we can let each other down. But in the Lord, he's not a disappointment. He's a source of great encouragement to us. And we should be encouraged in him. Delight yourself in the Lord. And if we have that encouragement, that awareness of the God's goodness to us, all that he's done for us, we will share that encouragement with our brothers and sisters. And that's God's desire, that we will encourage one another in the Lord and what he's done for us, what he's doing for us. we're working our way through this book, and we're making good time and good progress. Because of the supremacy of Christ and all he has done for us, the last thing we will want to do, if our eyes are open to who Christ is and all that he's done for us, the last thing we'll want to do when facing insult, when facing persecution for the name of Christ, exactly what these Hebrew believers were facing, is to abandon, to despise Christ and the Christian faith. To do that is a very serious thing. There's all these warning chapters in this letter. But as we read, you know, he has greater hope. He doesn't have that expectation that they will, despite their wavering in their faith, he expects greater response from them. And he warns them here of the danger of despising Christ and abandoning the Christian faith. He says, if you do that, then you make Christ out to be an imposter. We've been reflecting on the supremacy of Christ. You put a big X through that. And you say, no, he's not. He's an imposter. He is of no value if you abandon Christ. Secondly, you despise Christ's holy sacrifice that he made for us. And you insult the Holy Spirit who indwelt Christ and authenticated him as the Son of God. By doing these three things, you put yourself in a dangerous position. You turn your back on the only sufficient sacrifice to save you from your sins. And you make yourself an enemy of God, and you will be severely punished, more severely than any other sin, because you are sinning knowingly and willfully and terribly against God's Son. If you as a believer, eyes opened, you know the sacrifice of Jesus has done for us, and if you willfully turn away from that and reject that, then you put yourself in a very serious predicament. The writer to Hebrews doesn't believe the Hebrew believers would do that. We are convinced of better things in your case. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. However, he feels it was necessary, it was important all the same to warn them. And we need warnings in our life as well. In the Christian path, it's not a case of how close can we get to the rocks? How close can we get to the rocks? It should be a case of we should steer a middle path and not put ourselves in danger and say, well, how much can I get off with as a believer? No, that would be foolish. That would be foolish. So just to sum up the purpose of this letter, this writer and what he's written, through spotlighting the wonderful privileges believers have received through Christ, on the one hand, through warning of the dangers of turning away from Christ, he seeks to spur on believers to persevere and live a life of faith. And he goes on to further spur us on by highlighting believers throughout biblical history who were marked by persevering faith. And starting from next week, we're going to be considering these wonderful believers together and the example that they reveal to us of what it means to persevere and live a life of faith. And then we end up by looking at the Lord Jesus. He's the supreme example. They were not picture perfect. That hall of faith, they're commendable in so many ways, but it's only in and through the Lord. The Lord Jesus is perfect, and we are to fix our eyes on him. We are to glance at people, but we are to gaze at God. Glance at people, gaze at God. We can trust in him. He will never let us down. He's able to present us faultless and to bring us before his presence with great joy. He's the one who's spurring us on more than anyone else. Keep it going, keep it going. I'm with you. And we're to trust in him and stand in him. And that's the theme of our closing song. We shall stand. We shall stand. Knowing who Jesus is and what he's accomplished for us. Seeing the warnings. We need the warnings. I'm saying, no, I want to follow Jesus. No turning back. I want to fix my eyes on him. I'm going to stand on him. 737. We shall stand with our feet on the rock. No matter what men may say, we're going to lift your name up high. That was Anne Whittacombe. She didn't care what people thought about her views, old-fashioned, whatever. She was a principled person, and she stood by in her faith. Whatever people say, she followed, sought to follow Christ. Let's stand and sing 737, We Shall Stand.